And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down there. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pounds. When the man comes around.
His name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Well, greetings everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight around the world.
WWCR, and we're glad to have you in here, and we got a great message for you tonight. Tonight we're going to go into the subject, the birthright stolen. Now we're going to go into the great mystery of how that the birthright was misdirected by deception. The true sons of Yahweh, who deserve the birthright, didn't get it. The ones that didn't deserve it did. And so we're going to examine the great mystery in the Bible of how that the birthright was diverted to someone that didn't deserve it. Stolen birthright. Part one, we could say. It takes quite a while to get through it. I hope that we can cover in 1 hour. We're going to attempt it tonight. Almost without exception, the descent of rule in a kingdom is by direct bloodline. And the exclusive birthright belonged to the firstborn male. Now, that would possibly, down the line in what we call the genetic birthright, in direct bloodline, we're going to search the scriptures and see if any hanky-panky has gone on in time down through the centuries, and we only have the scripture left to us for evidence. We're quite sure that Yahweh meant for the firstborn, meaning the Son of God, if you will. Let me put quotations upon that so you can set your mind in order, that we're actually descending down through a true bloodline, if you will, from the Heavenly Father to the one that deserved to be the birthright receiver from the Heavenly Father, who gave His Son, the offspring, if you will, as His heir to the kingdom. Now, we know that the Jews, let's look in the New Testament for just a moment before we get into the Old Testament, and we'll lay a gestalt, a solid foundation of legal truth, that the firstborn male belonged or was commanded to be dedicated or given to the Heavenly Father. Now, for the Messiah to rightfully obtain an earthly kingship through the birthright of a firstborn son, he had to be a direct bloodline descent of the Father who holds the birthright. Now, we are looking for the fulfillment tonight of the commandment that the earthly birthright of the firstborn descended through the grace of Jacob. We know in Genesis 49, we have the prophetic relationship and the prophecy of Jacob to his sons. Now, we know that there was jealousy and envy and hatred and strife in the sons of Joseph, or the sons of Jacob, as he gave the 11th son from his strength. The birthright went to Joseph, according to the Bible. It didn't go to Judah. Now, I've got a question to ask for you. Why does everyone think that the birthright, or the right to sit on the heavenly throne, why does everybody believe that that went to Judah? Well, we have been taken down the primrose path of understanding, and I don't know how that got in there. Maybe a lack of study. Perhaps deception to the point where only those who have eyes could see the truth and reality. That when we get into the genetic downline or the descent of rule, which is always by the direct bloodline and the exclusive birthright promise. Now, it was to go to Joseph, but somehow we believe that Christ, as we know him today, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, that he was a Jew, or that he descended from the house of Judah, not the house of Joseph. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's fair to ask this question. And you say, well, why bring it up? Everybody knows that Jesus was a Jew. Well, you know, in my study of all the years that I've studied the Bible, and it's been well over 50 years since I picked up a Bible and began my study, painful as it was, a lot of my early growth and development for knowledge in the Bible, or my hunger and quest for knowledge, was paved with these desires. I had a hunger to know something about the Bible. I made it a point to study the Bible. I read the Bible faithfully, and I still do, although I don't read as much as I used to in the direct translation of the King James that I use. I supplement my knowledge by looking in other places for knowledge, not just the Bible. But I have never come across anything directly related to prove that the kingship bloodline would belong to the sons of Joseph. Isn't that strange? When the Bible said that we have Jacob given the bloodline direct, exclusive birthright to Joseph, not Judah, but we're led to believe that Christ was from the bloodline of Judah, that he was a Jew. And like I say, of all the years I've read the Bible, I've never read that Christ ever said anywhere, or any prophet that was worth his salt, that ever identified the king or the blood of the direct bloodline to descend from Judah, but there is evidence that it descended from where it was supposed to, and that would be Joseph. The sons of Joseph. The early birthright of the firstborn descended to Joseph and his sons, not the sons of Judah, as we've been taught. Now, why is it then that all the world believes that Christ was a Jew? Well, therein lays the great deceptive trick of the devil, whose job it was, and oh how he has done his job, to deceive the whole world. That's what the Bible said. Now, most of the world that I know of, nobody will admit they've been had or taken by the crafty and the
wise old serpent, the devil, but the Bible says he would deceive the whole world, and he would deceive the very elect, if it was possible. Now, a bloodhound, with trained to sniff out, if you will, with his nose, not his eyes, he depends on his smell. Well, we know that the hand is quicker than the eye. So by sleight of deception, we've been warned in the Bible that you could possibly receive a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. Now, we don't want that to happen. We don't want lies, and we don't want deception, and we don't want to become a victim of Satan, whose job it was to deceive the whole world. Now, we know that the Scriptures teaches that Satan can transform himself and his ministers into ministers of the gospel. Virtually the entire world has been deceived, and these Christian, Judeo-Christian churches, 99% that I've ever been in. Oh yes, they sing good and they play well and they're very dedicated and they mean good. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the devil himself deceived and being deceived. You see, the first thing for the devil to do is to deceive those that he's going to use to deceive all those that they come in contact with. Well, that's the preachers. Now, have you ever read this scripture that would tell you that to beware of the scribes? Now, a scribe is someone that will go in and alter or change, if you will, through sly hand. Remember, I told you that the hand is quicker than the eye. So, what you see today in the translations may not be as it appeared in the original translation. You say, well, are you saying that the Bible is wrong, Pastor Buddy? I'm just saying that Christ said himself, the Son of God, the heir to the descended bloodline birthright. Now, if he was Jewish, as the world has believed, somebody, if he wasn't Jewish, has deceived the very elect. Now, you understand what I'm talking about, how serious it is to search the Scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. And for you to search the Scriptures well, lest you come up short, or lest you miss the mark. Now, a lot of people, like I said, the devil, as first of all, he deceives his preachers, because he's a transformed angel of light. Of course, Satan couldn't deceive a sincere, honest man, as he is filling the heavenly calling, let's say, to put on the cloth, or to wear the collar, we might say, and become a priest, or to become an authority. And the Bible says, beware of them, for they, these preachers, get in the door. They stand in the door. They won't go in themselves. And they hinder them that would. Now, I've got something to tell you in my studies. Now, this is just my studies. I have never read one scripture that would indicate that Christ was a Jew. But I have read many places where even the writers of the Bible have been made to say that they believe he was, or they hinted that he was. Now, if the Messiah is a descendant of the bloodline of a Jew, or Judah, as we could properly say, the house of Yehuda. Now, a Jew is a slang word that's applied and shortened to become a member of the tribe of Judah, and we are led to believe, most Christians in Judeo-Christian teaching, that Christ was a Jew, and that the Jews, therefore, are God's chosen people. Have you ever heard that? Could that come from the lie of the serpent? Let me give you a scripture to sort of heighten your expectation as you search the scriptures, that you want to make your election and calling sure. Satan, being a transformed angel of light sent to deceive the whole world, would have to win over sincere people, honest people. They won't steal from you, they won't beat you, they won't cheat you, because that's against their religion. Have you ever read the scripture that Christ made this statement? Now, this is after that they killed him, and they said, "Come, let us kill him. This is the heir," or "this is the bloodline descendant." Now, if they were sons of Judah, why would they hate him? Isn't it that Joseph was hated and cast out of the whole family? He was the black sheep, if you will, of the family. That Judah was one of the chief railers against. Could this have been a jealous reason that Judah wanted to get Joseph out of the picture, even to the point of having him sold for money, and to come back with this false report, even his little coat of many colors was brought back bloodied with an animal's blood. Here is Jacob, who himself chose Joseph for the purpose of being the birthright progenitor of the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, that was to come in future prophecy. He was to come from the loins of Joseph's descendants. You see what I'm talking about? Bloodline descended from the birthright son, who was Joseph. Now, Joseph has all the characteristics, as we study the Bible, to support that Judah was never the progenitor, as we've been made to believe, and that the Jews have somehow put themselves in the position by making the world believe that the Son of God was a Jew, then we would get most people's sympathy on the planet in Judeo-Christian or Christianity as the church world, now 99% certain that Christ was a Jew, no evidence other than tradition. Well, what makes you believe that Jesus was a Jew?
Well, that's what the Bible said.
Well, I've never read that.
Well, just because you ain't read it, my preacher said so, and I trust him because he's a man of God.
You see, the devil's job again is to deceive by first deceiving the preachers and then making them righteous. They appear righteous. They appear as righteous as can be. And why would they appear righteous? Simply because their righteousness would be by deception. Well, they claim to be right. They have all of the outward motions. Christ said, beware of them. Outwardly, they appear righteous, but inwardly, they are wolves. Man, he didn't have a good opinion of these people that were plotting and planning. As I read the scriptures, I found them always plotting and planning to kill him. Now, I found something interesting in the Bible. As we are led to believe that they talk about Jesus of Nazareth. If you've ever read it in the New Testament, we're using Jesus, the Son of God, tonight to come down to your level of understanding. We don't believe his name was ever Jesus. That's some more deception by some church, mainly the Greek responsibility, who took over the responsibility, if you will, of getting the New Testament down to us. And it took them 1,500 years, basically, after the apostolic age of the apostolic fathers passed on. It took a continuous 1,500 years before we get the first New Testament that tells us that the name of the Son of God was Jesus. Now, we're going to take issues with that name just for the sake of continuing the deception that comes down layered. Now, we know that Hitler, one of the men that made history, and he was credited for saying this, tell a lie often enough and it will become truth. Now, I'm not saying that Hitler was all lies, but I can tell you one thing for sure. That's what the devil does best. Because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own. And in 2 and 9, in the book of what we call Revelations, we have this statement made by a risen Savior. And this is what he said. I know them that say they are Jews, but they're not. They're imposters. They're liars. Now, we know that with the Messiah, he chose 12 disciples basically to represent the 12 original sons of the house of Jacob. And we find in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations that the names of these 12 sons was in the gates to the city, being 12 gates, and the name of the 12 apostles was superimposed upon that, and the name of the Father was the code or the key to get it into that city that contained 12 gates and one name. Now, by one name, we're all baptized into one body. We've been made to believe that Jesus was a Jew, Judeo-Christian churches, and churchanity, as we call it, and the false Zionist Jews that say they are Jews and are not will continue to rule and reign on this planet until the truth is expounded to the point to convince. We got to win them one at a time and prove in the genealogy. Now we find deception, if you will, and trickery and deceit in the genetics, as we find here in the third chapter of the book of Revelations, again, ninth verse. I know them that say they are Jews, but they're out of the synagogue of Satan. Now, wait a minute. The synagogue or the church, there's a church on the earth. Oh, it has all the distinction of being righteous. Most of them is clothed in scarlet. Now, there is a church in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations, and it explains what this church would be like and what it would teach, and that its priests or prophets would transform themselves into the prophets of Yahweh as opposed to being the prophets of the devil. You ever hear a preacher say, "I'm a preacher of the devil, and y'all love me"? I'm going to lie to you today in the whole message. No, he won't say that. But he'll get up and speak well. He's got a degree. He's got plenty of titles in front of his name. And then he will begin to lie deceptively by going with tradition or things that seem right. And he'll continue to preach his whole message in a seem-right position to deceive those who are not qualified to know when a wolf is disguised in sheep's clothing. You see, these bellbox preachers of churchianity, they have come in large numbers. Now, let me tell you what we're up against as ministers of righteousness. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and only a few there be that find it. Now, the Bible will not produce one incident where Judah did the right thing to produce a righteous bloodline down the line that produced the little virgin girl that was overshadowed by Yahweh the Father to produce his bloodline
to inherit the throne and the kingdom of God. Now remember, I told you at the start that this bloodline would have to be righteous, descended from the birthright son of Genesis, given the distinction of Genesis chapter 48 and 49, and it lays out the descended sons as they are identified, especially in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, here is where the deception starts. We have Judah, the one that we have been convinced that produced the bloodline Son of God. And that the evidence would support that very fact, that it would come down to, it would come down to the fact that the bloodline would produce the Son of God in the time to come out of the seed of the woman that we find in Genesis chapter 3, Satan beginning his assault on genetics. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the devil is a liar and the father of it. He comes from an overwhelming evidence, if you want to study the scriptures, that he produced a church that would seem like the church of the Son of God, but it would be a church of Babylon, or the church of deception. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her evil sin and racial transgressions. The Bible will not show one thing that Judah ever did to produce a righteous bloodline. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Judah forfeited his birthright by doing what he done when he married a Canaanite. That's why that Judah was looked over when Jacob was searching for one of his sons to be righteous and holy with a pure blood. You know it didn't come from Judah because he had three sons right off the bat with a whoring, evil Canaanite woman, and therefore they would be half-breeds, mongrels. And so the genetic war begins here in Genesis 38. And we find in Genesis chapter 46, it actually lists the 12 sons, including Judah. Now, he's had three sons, two of them his firstborn. Remember, it's the firstborn that is given to Yahweh. Now, we find that Judah's firstborn sons was from a Canaanite. Therefore, they would declare or become ineligible for the birthright, although they're descended from Jacob, who was to produce the birthright son. But it was up to Jacob to choose. After that, his firstborn son Reuben, what he done, he went up and lay with his father's concubine. And so, therefore, Judah,
took the birthright that was to belong to Reuben. And then it became his discretion to watch the sons to see who would keep his blood pure, and he would have all of the characteristics of a righteous son of God. And we compare Joseph to all the other brothers, and we find Joseph to be a type of the Messiah himself. No wonder that the Son of God, when he came, would be descended from the seed of Joseph and not Judah, who exemplified, if you will, all of the evil nature of being defiled and his sons defiled. The Bible said either make the tree good and the fruit good. Judah never redeemed his pledge from the bracelets when he actually took Tamar through her trickery. It's just a continuation. Now, the sons that she produced from Tamar became Zarah and Phares. Now, this Zarah is not the firstborn son. He's actually the fourth son from Judah's strength. He's the fourth one. And Phares, the fifth. So, neither one of these would, whether they are legal or illegal, is not the question. Neither one was firstborn, and they could not keep the law of that the firstborn that opened the womb belonged to Yahweh, and therefore Yahweh himself would redeem that seed or that bloodline that became birthright qualified. The eleventh son is the first son from Judah's strength that became qualified. Now, I know, ladies and gentlemen, this don't sit too well with the people that have been taught different. I know that this hurts, and I know it actually tears up or brings confusion into a home after years and years and years of false teaching. Here's Pastor Buddy tonight declaring unto you, by the authority of the natural birthright, Judah was not qualified because Judah was the first or the fourth born son in the lineage or the offspring, and so therefore Reuben would have qualified, but he was disqualified, and then the proxy, if you will, or the priority became Jacob's to choose. And like I say, he began to watch the status of these sons and how they acted. And when he knew that Joseph had all the qualifications, he blessed him and gave him the birthright. And the Jews and the rest of the brethren right then were jealous and envious and angry, and actually wanted to kill him. Well, isn't that the way the brothers were when Christ, the Son of God, when he came, they found he was the firstborn. They found that he qualified. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that Christ spent his last 30 days at the home place. Remember, one of the blessings of the birthright son was to inherit their father's home place. And they got a double portion of his blessing. Now this double portion blessing went to Joseph. Now we know that Ephraim was Joseph's firstborn son to the spiritual inheritance rather than the older order, because that was Manasseh, but the cross hands of Jacob, the grandfather, put the blessing on Ephraim. And Ephraim is my firstborn, saith Yahweh. He never made that distinction, or he never applied that honor to any other son other than Ephraim and Joseph. Now, isn't that strange that we can only read that Ephraim was his firstborn? That Joseph, the 11th son from Jacob's strength, was the firstborn? And that applied to Joseph and Ephraim by descended blood of righteousness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem here that if Christ was a Jew, then he wouldn't qualify as the Son of God to have the righteous bloodline. That would disqualify him. So, therefore, you need to take another look in genealogy. And ladies and gentlemen, we could preach for a whole month on the evidence of the genealogy and trace it through the Bible, and you would be surprised to know that down through the history of the genetics and the righteous bloodline, it can be proven in the Bible that the descendants of the Son of God, the one we call Jesus in the New Testament, you see, not only did they steal his name and use it with deception, they stole his birthright, and Christianity has been made, churchianity, has been made to believe through Judeo concepts that Christ was a Jew, therefore the Jews are God's chosen people, and that will not stand up. And we know that Satan has stolen the birthright of the firstborn from Joseph's son Ephraim. And the Talmudic Zionist sons of Judah have the sympathy of the Judeo-Christian churches in the same manner that the Zionists rule over our political institution and have become our money changers all over the world and have that distinctive honor. Well, they're God's chosen people, and God has blessed them. When the Bible says, come out of her. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's Jacob's family. Once you put them in proper perspective and you see the deception of the genealogy and the bloodline, once you search this out and you prove all things, then you can truthfully say Christ was not a Jew. He never was. We know that his bloodline family was from the sons of Joseph, meaning Ephraim, and the last 30 days of earth he spent here was in a city called Ephraim. Did he go back to his home place, knowing that he was
getting ready to die in the second Passover, not the first. And folks, this deception is so layered with deceit. Now, no wonder that Satan can almost say to Yahweh through the Bible that his job is, he's done it well, which was to deceive the very elect, or to deceive all the people that dwell on earth. Man, what a job he's done. Joseph dreamed and told his brethren, and that was for rulership, or for bloodline descended to rule over them. Joseph had to come, and he had to have a son, and he had to have a bloodline where the Son of God, Christ, could one day be the result of the union where the Father overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth the descended king from a royal bloodline, because the dreams that Joseph dreamed of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, that they would all bow to him in Genesis 37. Even Jacob doubted Joseph, and he really became annoyed and said, "Are we to bow down to you? Bow down?" And Joseph's statement about the dream was so notable that Jacob remembered what was prophesied through the birthright, and Joseph's brethren conspired to kill him because of his dreams. Now, it was Reuben, believe it or not, the oldest son, who refused to be part of the murder plan hatched up by Judah and the other brothers. And if you'll go to Genesis 37:22, you'll see that the plot and the plan was to sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the price went up 10 pieces because Judas, the only Judite in the entourage, if you will, the rest of them were Galileans, and you need to check that out in Acts chapter 2. All of those that spoke with tongues were Galileans, notably, with the exception of Judas, who had killed himself for the guilt that had put upon himself when he turned state's evidence and put the heir to the bloodline kingdom to death so that the Jews could steal the birthright. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something definitely wrong here. When we look at the deception, and I was amazed in 1 Samuel 17 and 12, by the way, when we look at the descendants and the offspring that Christ would bring a true bloodline through, we find that they were Ephraimites, not Judites, as the lying scribes have tried to interject and place into the bloodline Judah or Judah's descendants. So the deception runs so deep, and it's such a tremendous study, believe you me. I mean, when I got into this, I could not quit. studying until I proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Son of God that came on this earth from the womb of Miriam, the little Hebrew girl that bare him into the world, that she gave a witness that the Father of this offspring called the Son of God descended from the very blood of Yahweh, or from God's blood. Thus he was called the Son of God. To descend from a royal priesthood bloodline. Oh my. And we find evidence throughout the scriptures. This can get very, very compelling if you would take the time to study it out, and you would know that the Messiah, the Son of God, Christ, Jesus as you would know him, was never from the bloodline of Judah. And oh, how it changes these things from daylight that you come into out of the darkness that you came from. Man, what a strange thing. The birthright. Do you really know where the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, the one we call Jesus, the one that had a name above every name? He didn't have a Greek Latin name. He didn't have a name of these mythical gods from antiquity that the Greek church gave him. He had a name above every name. And since that the Son of God came in the name of God, God has only got one name, irregardless of what you have heard. He's only got one name. That's all you've got. That's all you've ever had. That's all you ever will have to answer by. And your name on the Lamb's book would have to be that you might have an opportunity to come and to become a witness. You are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am the Eternal Mighty One. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. It wasn't a form of God or in the likeness of God. It was God. God came down by creating a flesh body, descending from His own genetical genes, or His own royal bloodline. No wonder He performed. No wonder, like Joseph, He stood the test. No wonder there was no fault found in Him. Because He descended from a righteous tree. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. In other words, the genetics will be good if it's from good. If it's from wrong or half right and half wrong. That's what Judah did when he crossed his righteous genes and weakened his genetics by laying with a Canaanite woman who produced on his behalf his three sons, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Shelah lived to go down in the 46th chapter with Judah and his sons, and he bred among the righteous Israelites, lived with them for 430 years, and when they all came out, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse 38, Israel came out with a mixed multitude. That word mixed is mongrelized multitude. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil has grown up right in the front yard and played with the children of righteousness. And he's done his dirty work, because that's his job. And Satan done a masterful, skillful job of mixing his genetics. He knew that if he could get his genetic seed into the bloodline, that he could convince the world with his lies and his trickery and his deception. He could deceive even the very elect, or he could deceive the whole world, as it's prophesied that he would attempt and, in most cases, succeed to blind in the whole world to who the righteous seed really was. And who he is today and who he's not. We've been made to believe a lie by those who are from the synagogue of Satan. Yahweh bless you. If you'd like to write me tonight, just write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. We're sponsored by an anonymous sponsor. We're thankful for our sponsor tonight. And I'll see you tomorrow night at the same time. Join us for part two. You don't want to miss it. Yahweh bless you.